Helen Ziller joins us now. Helen, lovely to be talking with you again. I thought the news that you guys brought out yesterday on the Western Cape Devolution Working Group would have had lots of people in a tiz. I suppose it's interesting, just the news flow at the moment. I guess there's a heck of a lot going on. But is it that relevant, or am I missing a point here?
No, it is very relevant, Alec. Very relevant indeed. We are working together across political parties, across civil society organizations, developing a whole of society approach to drive devolution of power and the federal concept that we believe should be far more emphasized in our constitution. So it's a big deal. It's a very important thing that we're all coming together to do this. And we're focusing on specific areas where the national government is failing totally and where the constitution offers the option of ensuring devolution in a much greater way than otherwise would be the case.
So this is a little bit like, and maybe you can help me out here, when your mayor of Cape Town, DA mayor of Cape Town, said that the door had opened a little bit and he was then going to kick it open and use that opportunity to get Cape Town out of load shedding as soon as possible. Of course, it's going to take a while, but that's the point. Here, certainly from your press release, it appears as though there's now a constitutional argument, apart from anything else, to start getting power devolved in a way that the DA has always wanted it, and starting clearly in Cape Town.
Yes, indeed. For example, municipalities have a constitutional responsibility to reticulate energy and electricity specifically. But you cannot reticulate electricity if the national government is not generating electricity. So in order to fulfill your own constitutional mandate, you have to be able to fill in where the national government is failing. And that is what we increasingly want to do. We are dealing with an increasingly failing state at national level, and we have a competent state in the Western Cape province and in the city of Cape Town, as well as many other places where the DA governs. And we want power devolved to where the capacity exists to fulfill those functions that are a constitutional right of citizens. And that is what we're doing.
Why now?
Well, because the time is ripe now. I think the failing state is on full display. I think we've had an example of the LEAP law enforcement officers that have been pioneered in the Western Cape and specifically in the city of Cape Town, that have had extraordinarily good results on bringing down violent crime. They are a tiny number as compared to the South African Police Service, and yet they have an enormous effect, and they are significantly more trusted than the members of the South African Police Services in the communities. And so in the kind of context that you have now with massive load shedding, with an admission by national government that they've got to rely on renewables, with all the red tape and barriers that Pretoria throws up every time there is an innovation to actually get proper renewables into the grid, and the failure of the South African Police Service, these are just two examples where it's obvious that a capable state in the Western Cape or in the city of Cape Town will step into the breach and then pick up the services that the national government is failing to deliver. That's why now. The time is ripe. It's a perfect storm.
And the group that you've put around you, clearly the DA is the ruling party in the Western Cape, as everybody knows, but you've also managed to bring in other partners. Who are they?
Well, let me specifically say that this is an initiative of all of these groups together. It's not the DA saying this is now what we're going to do. But the DA believes very strongly in what is known as the whole of society approach. The whole of society is obviously profoundly impacted by state failure. And we are very committed to enabling people who vote for the Democratic Alliance and vote us into government to be immune to the failing state at national level. That's our job. They vote for us because they expect better service delivery. Now, when things can potentially be our constitutional mandate, such as electricity generation and supply through renewable sources, and, for example, a metro police and a provincial police force, then we get on and fill that vacuum. And of course, because we owe that to people who voted for the DA government, we are bringing on board the whole of society that is interested in seeing that outcome as well. So this is an open forum. It's not a closed forum. And anybody who wants to join us and who believes that we need the devolution of these powers to make sure that people can live in a capable state, and so to be sure that people can be immune to the failing national state, can join us. It's a very open-ended group. We're not a closed group whatsoever. Currently, we have many different groups. SAI, for example, is an agricultural organization. Action Society is Ian Cameron's organization, which is very involved and very keen to be part of this devolution process. There is the Cape Independence Advocacy Group. There is the ACDP as a political party. There's the Freedom Front Plus as a political party. There's ourselves. There's AFRI Forum. A whole range of people who are very concerned with state failure and who are absolutely committed to working together to prevent people from having to live with the consequences of a failed state, especially where they did not vote for the failing state.
So as a federal chair of the DA, which is obviously throughout South Africa, some of the parties that you've got with you are single-mindedly wanting the Western Cape to have independence. We've had this conversation before, and I'd love to know if your position on that has changed and whether there is a door that's opening for that possibility.
The DA's position on this has not changed. We do not support secession. We love South Africa, the whole of South Africa, and we work nonstop to try and persuade people to vote for good government everywhere. That is why we put up a candidate in every single ward across the whole country when it comes to local government elections, to give every single individual the opportunity to vote for competent government. Now, we are winning in other parts of the country. The recent Social Research Foundation's polling showed that we are now the single biggest party in urban South Africa. We have overtaken the ANC across the whole country in urban South Africa. That is not a small milestone. It is absolutely enormous. And out of 8 metro municipalities in South Africa, we now are the mayors. We have DA mayors in 5 of them. In most instances, governing coalitions, but we have DA mayors in 5 out of the 8 metro municipalities. That's extraordinary. And we now have governments, either overall majorities or coalitions, across 7 provinces. If you'd said that 5-6 years ago, no one would have believed you, but it's happening now. So we believe that South Africa can change. We believe that increasingly people know that it's in their hands. And the more they see a living, breathing example of better government right here in South Africa as a proof point, being Cape Town and the Western Cape, and for example, Umgeni, you've had Chris Pappas on your show before, Horatio Hendricks from Coga, Midvaal, where we have Peter Teixeira, and various other places where we have an overall majority, that's where you can really see the DA difference, where we don't really have to battle all the time, every day, to hold together shaky coalitions.
What's changed? What penny has dropped somewhere that you've now got this extraordinary result coming back from the research that you've just quoted?
Well, I do think that people are starting to understand that their vote makes a difference. The ANC is falling apart. And when the ANC falls apart, people can either vote for one of a range of tiny parties that are popping up everywhere, including a lot of what I call baby ANC parties, or they can decide that what you need is a strong anchor tenant, a party that has proved itself in government, that has proved itself a clean, reliable party that does business with others and that governs well and accountably. People are getting that message. It doesn't help when the ANC crumbles, to try and run 10-party coalitions. Now, let me just use an example of this. We've just taken over Nelson Mandela Bay. just over a week ago. Now, we worked very hard to do that, but that took a 10-party coalition. The DA brings 48 seats to that coalition. The next biggest party brings 3. Then there are a few with 2 seats, and then there are 5 with 1 seat. Now, our candidate for mayor, Retief Odendaal, got elected by 60 votes to 59, by 1 vote. That shows you that every single one of those small parties has the balance of power. Many have no clear policies or objectives. And I would venture to say that some look for where the best advantage for them would lie. And it takes just one of them to switch sides to bring down that whole government. And we live in a country where the ANC particularly, but not only the ANC, puts massive inducements on people to switch sides or even to just stay away from a meeting, because all it will take in that kind of instance is to get 2 people to stay away from a meeting and you lose the vote. And you can claim to be sick, and the ANC can offer you a massive inducement, you know, tens of thousands of rands to do that. And if you're not swayed by inducements, there are always death threats, which is a negative inducement. And we must never underestimate the power of the death threat in South African politics. You know, political assassinations are not unknown in South Africa, certainly not in Nelson Mandela Bay. And you can imagine when you're trying to hold together a coalition as fragile as a 10-party coalition in Nelson Mandela Bay, you literally live from day to day. You live from council meeting to council meeting. Your mayor, instead of being able to stride out there and look at service delivery issues and deal with the problems, is busy holding together an executive comprising 10 parties and is busy watching all the time that no one is alienated for any reason whatsoever or induced for any reason whatsoever to change their mind. Now, that does not make for stable government. And it is a very, very complex thing when that is the kind of government that the voters give us. Obviously, voters are free to vote for what they like, but you asked what penny is dropping. The penny that is dropping is that that does not make for stable coalitions. It does not make for stable government. And you can compare the places where we battle every day to just hold together our coalitions and those where we have a clear blue majority to get on and deliver. And the difference is chalk and cheese.
Part of the focus of the devolution working group is to arrange or to clear legislative hurdles preventing the Western Cape Premier from calling referendums. Now, the independence parties in the Cape say that that's their intention. Let's get a referendum. Let the people of the Western Cape have a vote and say whether or not they want independence. The referendum story there is that they're making out, how does it lie or how does it sit with you, given that that's their objective and it's been put down as one of the objectives of this working group as well?
The objective of the working group is to enable a premier to call a referendum, and we totally agree with that. I mean, in the Constitution, premiers have the right to call referendums subject to national legislation. The only problem is there is no national legislation, which means that premiers can't call referendums, as is their right under the Constitution. So that right is moot, and we want to make it a living, valid, actionable right. And so the DA is driving a private members' bill in the National Assembly to create that national legislation within which framework premiers will be able to call referendums. And it doesn't need to be on any particular subject. It is the right, and the question is determined by the premier of the time. It's not a referendum on subject A or subject B. One of the key referendums we would look at very clearly, excuse me, is a referendum on devolving policing powers. Absolutely. And that is the kind of thing that the Premier of the Western Cape could call, for example, to demonstrate where public opinion is on this matter. And a Premier needs to have that right, and so do the Premiers of every other province need to have that right.
And then once that referendum's called, is anyone obligated to enforce it? Or, and really, I suppose the question following on from that is, how do you put into action the things that this working group wants to raise?
Well, what we do is we have various legs. We have political parties, we have civil society organizations, we have activist organizations, and we've got a long-term plan. Our long-term plan is to get a federal system functionally working in South Africa. That's the long-term plan. And you have to take it election by election and opportunity by opportunity. We are hoping in 2024 that we will replace the ANC in several provinces. And that makes an enormous difference when more and more provinces start pushing for devolved powers, for taking over key things like procuring electricity generated by independent power producers, demanding to take over rail services with a decentralized and devolved budget, demanding to take over the management of the South African Police Service in their province, as well as investigative and other powers. These are all huge things. And the more provinces we can get in, and the more we can demonstrate where we have an opportunity, as we have now in Cape Town and the Western Cape, that things work better on a devolved basis, the more we can change things over time. That's how change happens, in that incremental way. Now, for example, the City of Cape Town is just about to put out a call for proposals on massive alternative energy generation. And it is technology agnostic, so people can put in any bid they like on any form of technology to generate electricity for any amount they like. And when that comes through and comes into the pipeline, the Western Cape will be absolutely load shedding free. And if the national government doesn't like it, they must just try to stop us. But they won't, because they know that the public will be absolutely up in arms if they insist on making us Eskom dependent when the municipalities can't reticulate energy because it's not being generated properly. And so we will push on every single front. Rail is another really good example. Rail has become dysfunctional in Cape Town. And Cape Town had perhaps the very best rail infrastructure and commuter rail system of any metro in South Africa. And it ground to a standstill along the critical central line because PRASA wasn't even able to look after its infrastructure. And now the national government has given the City of Cape Town the right to do a feasibility study on whether to take over rail. It might be a bit late because it's hard to get in private investors when the entire system has collapsed. And of course, the ANC always waits till the entire system has collapsed before they will give an inch. But nevertheless, we're trying and we're going to push on that very hard too. And we're hoping by 2024, when the election happens, to show some good results over this devolution and to say to people, if you want your province or your city to work, you have to become immune to the failing national state. And becoming immune to the failing national state lies in your hands. That doesn't mean we won't work very hard to take over government at a national level. Most analysts are agreed that the ANC will fall under 50% in the next election. And we'll be working very, very hard to put together a government at national level as well. Because national government does have competencies that can't be devolved, and they too have to be efficiently administered and delivered. So we will try and continue working at every single level of society to make sure that the people of South Africa get the government they deserve.
So it's a plan. It's not let's try and take over government and then we'll change things. There is an incremental process that you're in here, but we've seen the EFF get together with the ANC in Knysna, in Nelson Mandela Bay. You at the BizNews conference, BNC3, said it really was a choice between the EFF and the DA. And I guess people are now starting to appreciate that. But the other big question is national government, EFF, ANC, should have enough votes in 2024, unless everybody's wrong, to continue into power. Now, I asked Herman Mashaba this. He thought it would be a massive disaster. What's your thought on that prospect?
Well, let's look at the options for 2024 before I look at one particular prospect. The ANC, if it falls under 50%, it depends obviously how much it falls under 50%, but it could do a deal with many of these tiny parties, or even just some of these tiny parties, if they say get 47% and then just edge over with another 3%, the UDMs and all of those types of parties, just to edge over the line. That is a possibility. The other possibility is that the ANC does a deal with Inkatha, the Inkatha Freedom Party, which would make a lot of sense from their point of view. It would be very much like a Mugabe situation with Joshua Nkomo. Do you remember that back in the day? You and I are old enough to remember that. When Robert Mugabe brought in Joshua Nkomo's ZAPU into ZANU, made him the deputy president, and basically bought out the whole of ZAPU through co-option. I mean, I'm sure the ANC would potentially look at doing that with the Inkatha Freedom Party. It makes a lot of sense from their point of view, especially having lost a lot of the Zulu vote over the way that Jacob Zuma is perceived to have been treated. Then there is the option of the ANC and the EFF, which would be the worst of all possible worlds. Then there is the option of opposition coalition getting together with the DA as the anchor party. And hopefully, if our coalitions succeed elsewhere in the country, and it's a big if, then that will be a wonderful demonstration effect to the public of South Africa. So there are lots of options. But I cannot imagine that the ANC will stay together and do a deal with the EFF. The ANC will have to split first. And over the long term, the ANC will crumble completely. It won't exist anymore. I mean, I was in Ghana not too long ago, and I met Kwame Nkrumah, the great liberation leader's daughter, and she had a party of 1% of the vote. Their party had completely crumbled and crashed. And the ANC will go the same way. It can't be saved at all. And I've been saying this for years and years, as you know, Alec. It takes time, though. And when the ANC has crumbled, the two clear ideological alternatives are going to be the DA versus the EFF. That will be the long-term choice for South Africa. And we are hoping more people will choose the DA way, because they will see when the DA governs, life gets better for everyone. And that's just a simple, provable fact. It's not Zilla here making claims that can't be substantiated. Every independent metric that is produced by an independent think tank or even government institution will tell you that where the DA governs, life is better for everybody. And so that message has to get through. And you know, according to the Rapport poll that was published recently in Rapport, you saw that the DA was 11 percentage points behind the ANC, 11 percentage points behind the ANC nationally. Now, you know, that means we can beat them. 11 percentage points is not such a big backlog. And I wish people would just buy into the understanding that we can beat the ANC if we stop dividing the opposition vote between so many parties and creating these unstable, untenable coalitions. We are 11 percentage points behind nationally. Surely it's time to get that argument across.
I'm getting feedback now from business leaders in the business community that the point that you made earlier about the ANC crumbling is now coming home with the way that government contracts are being managed. Without letting any confidences go, a very senior business person said to me, if they wanted this contract from government, they had to put money into Lithuli House. It was just no question anymore. In the past, it might have been fudged. Now it is blatantly open. I know you've called it a criminal syndicate, the ANC, before, but it's almost now becoming not even trying to hide.
It's been like this forever. I mean, the ANC is only held together by its incumbency in power and its ability to dispense patronage in whatever form. So in the case that you've just mentioned, they are able to dispense a tender and contract that this business person clearly wants for his company, And he is told, this is what you will put into the account at Luthuli House or a front organization like Chancellor House, let's say. That's how the ANC runs at every level. It says to people, we will give you this job and we will allow you to appoint X, Y, and Z friends into that job with EPWP jobs, with an entire network of state procurement, with the candidate selection process. They only work on extortion. It's extortionist politics. And you can only have extortionist politics if you have power, because then you have the power to extort. And what they're doing to this businessman is the same in many ways as they are doing to councillors when they say, don't go to that meeting and don't vote for the DA's candidate. And we will pay you X not to do that. And if you are not induced by that offer, you'll get a death threat, which you will take very seriously. It's extortionist politics and corruption that we live with. That is why the ANC is a criminal syndicate. And the sooner people get that, this is not hyperbole. This is simply a fact that the ANC is a criminal syndicate and that the DA is 11 percentage points, according to the report poll, behind the ANC nationally. Those are the 2 points people need to get and know that the future is in their hands.
Helen Ziller of the Democratic Alliance, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.